Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, P&Z denies initial zoning to redevelop Nueva Vista, by Mella McEwen. Plans to redevelop the Nueva Vista golf course in West Midland drew heavy opposition at Monday's Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. Commissioners considered a request by Midland Odessa Golf Corporation for initial zoning of a 21.91-acre tract bordering Homeland Drive and Homestead Boulevard, a tract not currently in city limits as SF1, single-family district. The request is in advance of the tract being annexed by the city. A request to turn the portion of Nueva Vista that is in city limits into a master plan development will be before the commission at its March 15th meeting. Even so, plans to convert the golf course into residential development drew more than 20% opposition within the 200-foot notification radius, meaning approval will require 3/4 vote from City Council. Reggie Lawrence, Commission Chair, pointed out to the crowd that the Commission only acts as a recommendation board to the Council, which will have final say. Indeed, Commissioners unanimously denied the request. Opponents cited concerns about property values, increased traffic, and the debris and dust caused by a construction site. James Garrity, president of the Homeowners Association, told commissioners the homeowners bordering the golf course wanted to remain a golf course. Residents enjoy sighting wildlife like foxes, coyotes, bobcats, and birds, and enjoy the open green spaces. Realtor Carrie Payne said she bought her home with the understanding the golf course remain. She added she has sold numerous houses to incoming residents because of the presence of the golf course. We're begging the City Council to help us keep this public golf course or a park and recreation area, as other speakers have discussed. I'm all for robust growth and development. That's my career. But we have very few parks and recreation areas or public golf courses. With this, we will see home values dramatically decrease from the purchase price of the homes. We're begging the council to listen to us and keep it as it is or as a park and recreation center. Eric West with Park Hill Smith & Cooper explained that Nueva Vista has been for sale for some time. He added that the SF1 designation means lot sites must be no less than 9,000 square feet, similar to Grasslands and Grasslands West. West also noted that Monday's request was merely for an initial zoning designation. Any concerns about how that one lot, Nueva Vista, would be subdivided will be discussed in the future to determine what the right layout would be. All those questions related to lot size, access, all that is related to layout and has to do with platting, he said. Other planning and zoning decisions. Commissioners also denied a request by Landon Torres for a specific use designation with term for automobile or other motorized vehicle sales. Torres had planned to convert two empty buildings at 3402 West Loop 250 North into a dealership selling newer used cars as well as a service center. The combined area would have been 7,700 square feet with 27 parking spaces. Lawrence repeated his assertion that City Council has the final say and urged Torres to appeal the decision to the council. A request by IDEA Public Schools for initial zoning of LR, local retail, to allow for construction of a new school was unanimously approved. The vote will allow IDEA to construct the IDEA Henry Public School, a K-12 academy and preparatory school, on a 24.5-acre tract of land at Briarwood Avenue and Avalon Drive. The property is in the process of being annexed into city limits. Laramie Acquisitions, LLC, received approval for its request for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District, for a transitional district to RR, Regional Retail, at 2010 Rankin Highway. Currently used as office space, Laramie wants to redevelop the site as a restaurant. Two restaurants and a new bar received approval of their request for specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant or bar. Anna M. Armendariz received her designation for Cora's Bistro at 305 West Ohio Avenue. Already in operations, Cora's is open from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to noon Saturday. The designation could allow the restaurant to extend its hours. Kong Lian Ni received designation for the Tokyo One to open at 3211 West Wadley Avenue. Hannah Stroon is in the process of building the Lost Books Bar at 201 West Wall Street. This article is entitled NWS, February was the coldest on record, by Stuart Doreen. It is not going to surprise anyone that it was cold in February, but the National Weather Service confirmed that 10 days in the middle of the month propelled this February to ranks never felt before during a month of February in Midland. The NWS reported an average temperature of 40.4 degrees on its website Monday. That means this past month was the coldest February on record in Midland, more than 2 degrees below the previous record, 42.5 degrees in 1960, and nearly 8 degrees below the typical average for the month, 48.3 degrees. The NWS reported the record was set during a month when the average was 52.5 degrees from February 1st to 9th and 20th to 28th. Helping to drop the temperature from a warmer than average month to the coldest February Midland has experienced was an average of 19.5 degrees from February 10th to 19th. That included 8 straight days when the high temperature in Midland didn't reach 30 degrees. It was during February 11th to 18th that a new record for consecutive days at or below 32 degrees, 8, was set, beating the previous record of 5. Other records set during this month included 8 for the coldest high temperature, 5 for the coldest low temperature, and 1 for the warmest high temperature. The NWS also reported the low temperature hit the single digits 4 times and went below 0 degrees on another occasion. The temperature outlook is not expected to take a similar turn in March or during the next 60 days. The Climate Prediction Center is calling for a 50% chance of warmer than average temperatures in March and a 70% chance of warmer than average temperatures from March through May. The CPC also is calling for below average chances of precipitation during the same period. This article is entitled Pothole Problem. Wet, cold weather could mean more pothole problems for Midland streets, by Stuart Doreen. It appears it is peak pothole fixing season, if 2020 is any indication. Last year, more than 2,000 potholes were fixed during the month of March, the most of any month, according to the City of Midland. With the recent cold and icy weather, potholes might become a problem again this spring. The city has stated that wet weather and harsh winters can cause the pavement to deteriorate more quickly. And following the 5th warmest summer on record in Midland in 2020, the city just experienced its coldest February in recorded history, according to the National Weather Service.
The city also reported that 2020 was the fifth year since 2015 that the number of potholes fixed topped 14,000. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled, "Was that hail on Sunday night in Midland?" No. This article is sourced from the National Severe Storm Laboratory. Yes, those were icy pellets hitting the roofs in some parts of Midland on Sunday night. The National Weather Service called the frozen precipitation gropple, which are soft, small pellets that was described by one NWS official as soft hail because of its resemblance to pea-sized styrofoam balls. They were smaller pellets than normal hail, but the month of February still ended with precipitation and ice pellets falling from the night sky. One NWS meteorologist told the Reporter-Telegram that it was a fitting ending to an unusual month of February, weather-wise. February 21st will go down as the coldest February on record, thanks to the longest cold weather event in the city's recorded history. The National Weather Service reported that the precipitation was part of a cold front that brought a high temperature of around 47 degrees on Monday and an expected low temperature below freezing 26 degrees on Monday night. Temperatures are expected to warm up Tuesday with a high temperature around 60 degrees, followed by consecutive days around 72 degrees. What is gropple? Gropple are soft, small pellets formed when supercooled water droplets at a temperature below 32 degrees freeze onto a snow crystal, a process called riming. If the riming is particularly intense, the rimed snow crystal can grow to an appreciable size but remain less than 0.2 inches. Gropple is also called snow pellets or soft hail, as the gropple particles are particularly fragile and generally disintegrate when handled. This article is entitled, AG Sues Texas Utility Over Customers' Sky-High Energy Bills, from Staff Reports. Austin. Texas's Attorney General said Monday he's suing electricity provider Gritty for passing along massive bills to its customers during last month's winter storm. The lawsuit comes days after Texas's power grid manager effectively shut down Gritty by revoking its access to the state's electricity market. Gritty charges $10 a month to give people a way to pay wholesale prices for electricity instead of a fixed rate. But when temperatures plummeted well below freezing last month, wholesale prices spiked, and Gritty customers were left with sky-high electricity bills. Gritty misled Texans and signed them up for services which, in a time of crisis, resulted in individual Texans each losing thousands of dollars, Attorney General Ken Paxton said in a statement. As Texans struggled to survive this winter storm, Gritty made the suffering even worse as it debited outrageous amounts each day. The lawsuit accused Gritty of violating the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act and seeks refunds for customers. The unusually heavy winter storm blanketed much of Texas with snow, knocking out electricity to 4 million customers and leaving many struggling to find clean water. Meanwhile, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, shifted about 10,000 Gritty customers to other utilities on Friday. Gritty said in a statement that ERCOT took our members and have effectively shut down Gritty. "We have always been transparent and customer-centric at every step. We wanted to continue the fight for our members to get relief, and that hasn't changed," the statement said. This is the obituary column. Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. Victoria Lara. Victoria Lara, 78, passed away February 25th, 2021. She was born July 28, 1942, in Midland, Texas.
Victoria was a devout Catholic and a member of Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church for many years. Funeral service will be held Tuesday, March 2nd at 10 a.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Victoria is preceded in death by her son, Adam Lara. Survivors include her husband, Gregorio Lara, sons Greg Lara and wife Yolanda, Mario Lara, Ruben Lara and wife Jennifer, sister Luisa Munoz, Delia Segura, Modesta Munoz, brothers Andres Hernandez, Ruben Hernandez, Nelo Hernandez, 17 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Funeral services have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Jackson Thomas Gray. Jackson Thomas Gray of Kerrville, Texas, gained his angel wings on February 25, 2021. He was born in Fredericksburg to Rainey and Tommy Gray on November 24, 2020. Jackson was preceded in death by his grandfather, Thomas Gray, Jr. He is survived by his parents, Rainey and Tommy Gray, brother Easton Gray, sister Camry and husband Dylan Tubbs, and son Maverick of Kingsland, Texas, grandparents Brandy and Chris Guerin of Midland, great-grandmother Nancy Davis of Midland, great-grandfather David Chandler of Cloudcroft, New Mexico, great-great-grandmother Evelyn Stewart of Midland, as well as many aunts and uncles and great-aunts and uncles. Services will be held at Grimes Funeral Chapel in Kerrville, Texas, on Wednesday, March 3rd at 10 a.m. Interment will follow at Garden of Memories. Condolences may be made at www.grimesfuneralchapels.com by selecting the Send Condolences link. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Grimes Funeral Chapels of Kerrville. Marcos Antonio Ruiz. Marcos Antonio Ruiz, 15, of Midland, passed away on Friday, February 19th. Visitation will be from 1 to 7 p.m. on Monday, March 1st and Tuesday, March 2nd at Abundant Life Ministries Church, 511 South Stonewall, Midland, 79701. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, March 3rd at Abundant Life Ministries Church, with Pastor Jesse Arispe officiating. Marcos Antonio Ruiz was born in Midland to Amanda Marie Murillo on February 28, 2005. He is survived by his mother, Amanda Marie Murillo, sister Jaylee Marie Murillo, brother Daniel Silverio Murillo, Aunt Alicia Cheyenne Castaneda, Uncle Felix Baron Hall, grandparents Ermelinda Baron Hernandez and Miguel Castaneda. The family wishes to extend our sincere thanks to Marlena Flores, Abundant Life Ministries, and all those who helped and contributed. Death notices. Angelita Patino. Angelita Patino, 85, of Midland, passed away February 26, 2021. She is survived by her 2 sons, Ruben Patino and Richard Patino, 1 brother, Daniel Patino, 1 sister, Mary Hinojos, 2 grandchildren, several nieces and nephews. Gregory Duane Gerber. Gregory Duane Gerber, 64, of Odessa, died Sunday, February 28th in Odessa. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. March 5th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Kevin Covington is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Margarita Ramirez. Margarita Ramirez, 89, of Midland, passed away on Monday, February 22nd. Viewing will be held on Thursday, March 4th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Friday, March 5th,
from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. She is survived by one brother, Augustine Reyes, five sisters, Paulina Sanchez, Josefina Blackwell, Dora Ruiz, Sylvia Gavia, and Inez Ramirez, four grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Robert D. Caldwell, Sr. Robert D. Caldwell, Sr., 87, of Midland, passed away February 28th. The family will receive guests from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 4th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Survivors include wife Sandra. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Terry Golden. Terry Golden, 68, of Odessa, passed away February 27th. The family will receive guests from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 4th, at the branch at NPW in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 5th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. Stop the spread, wear a mask, protect yourself and others against COVID-19. Booster clinic at Ratliff begins today. MCH has administered more than 50,000 shots. OA News at OAOA.com. This week's drive-thru vaccine clinic at Ratliff Stadium is only for those who need the second or booster shot and who received a first dose at Ratliff between January 24th and February 10th. The free clinics held at Ratliff and the follow-up clinics at Medical Center Hospital's urgent care centers have now administered more than 50,000 vaccines. On Sunday, which was the final day for first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine at Ratliff, there were 3,001 shots given. Photo: drivers line up at Ratliff Stadium as they wait to receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as part of a mass vaccination clinic organized by the City of Odessa, Odessa Fire Rescue, the Odessa Police Department, and Medical Center Hospital, Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021, at Ratliff Stadium. Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Starting today, anyone who received a vaccine at Ratliff before February 10th can now go to the Ratliff Clinic to get their second dose. If you received a shot after February 10th at Ratliff, you will not get a second vaccine at Ratliff, but rather at Odessa Regional Medical Center. An email with dates and times will be sent to those who need that second shot or booster. MCHS originally did about 4,500 booster shots the week of the winter storm, but had to cancel the rest of the appointments due to the vaccine shipment being delayed. There are about 9,700 or so booster shots left to administer for the people who came to the first 3 weeks of the Ratliff Stadium drive-through clinic. The booster shot drive-through clinics are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Ratliff. Anyone who can't make these dates or received their first dose at Ratliff Stadium on or after February 24th will receive their booster shots from ORMC and will be contacted by them to set up an appointment. An interesting milestone occurred over the weekend in Odessa. On Saturday, MCH went 24 hours without a COVID-19 admission, This is the first time in a year that has occurred. MCH reported on Monday that there are 30 COVID patients in-house, one PUIs in-house, 13 critical care patients, 11 COVID patients are on ventilators. Breaking records. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. David Burlington, Wright, handles a small rainbow trout to remove a hook while fishing with his 3-year-old dog, Maria, and friend, Roy Autry, Monday afternoon at Comanche Trail Park. Temperatures dropped into the 30s Sunday night, and Monday saw a high 48 degrees with a low of 27, according to the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service expects the cold to be short-lived, with highs on Tuesday rebounding into the upper 50s and 60s for most across southeast New Mexico and west Texas. Art Museum Seeking ODC Grant from City by Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council today will discuss approval of a $1.5 million grant to the Ella Noel Art Museum to help the museum pay for a proposed $12 million building renovation and expansion project. Council will discuss the project and request during their 3 p.m. work session, which will be held virtually. The museum is requesting a $1.5 million financial assistance grant from the Odessa Development Corporation, according to an application filed by museum officials. The bulk of the project's funding would come from donations raised through a capital campaign effort already underway by the museum, campaign chairman Austin Keith said. Expanding and restructuring our building will allow us to accommodate even more visitors in new and larger galleries, students in more classrooms, and visiting artists and speakers in new event spaces, Keith wrote in his application. Updating the museum's facilities will give us the opportunity to secure major exhibitions, making us a tourist destination. During their work session, the council will also discuss the possibility of using an impact fee to help pay for needed road and water and sewer system improvements. Public Works Director Thomas Kerr said the presentation will explain how local governments can impose a fee on property developers to pay for all or a portion of infrastructure improvements that must be built due to new property development. North Odessa is seeing significant property development growth, which is where the funds would likely be used if council agrees, Kerr said. It's been used more commonly in East Texas, Kerr said, but more West Texas communities are starting to take a look at it. Simplified, an impact fee is usually a one-time payment imposed by a local government on a property developer, Kerr said. The fee is intended to offset the financial impact a new development places on public infrastructure. Council will also be asked to reject bids for the replacement of security lights at Sherwood Park Family Aquatic Center. Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton is recommending that the project, which was expected to cost $70,000, be rebid. The two submitted bids were $102,840 by Midland's Onyx General Contractors, LLC, and $117,948 from Midland's KP&E Electric. COVID-19 news by the numbers. ECISD daily cases, 2 students, 0 staff. U.S. cases, 28,405,925 total confirmed, and 511,839 deaths. Find out more at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/ TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at TINYURL.com/Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital will be administering booster, second doses, shots of the Pfizer vaccines. A booster shot drive-through clinic will take place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today through Friday at Ratliff Stadium. This drive-through is only for the remaining people who got their first shot at Ratliff. Pre-registration is not required. Bring your vaccination and ID card. For anyone who can't make the booster clinic and or anyone getting the first shot, including first shot drive-through, those shots will be given through Odessa Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment at ORMC, call 432-582-8549. That's 432-582-8549. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, will be administering COVID-19 vaccines. Scheduled dates for vaccines: Moderna booster, second dose, today. Pfizer booster, second dose, ECISD only Thursday. Pfizer first dose vaccines, Wednesday and Friday, all by appointment only. To make an appointment at ORMC, call 432-582-8549. No walk-ins will be offered on the scheduled dates. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. HEB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com/CP/12282302 or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. Quick hits. Meeting. Family Resiliency Center of the Permian Basin, 4682 East University Boulevard, Suite D, has scheduled Survivors of Suicide Support Group meeting from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. today, March 16th, 30th, April 13th, and 27th. The meetings are open only to those who have lost a family member, friend, or co-worker to suicide, not to observers or those who have survived a suicide attempt. And each suicide loss has equal value in the group. For more information, call 432-848-6944 or visit tinyurl.com/3AWBNWMK. from staff reports. Local news roundup. Dress contest and movie screening. Ella Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Ugly Bridesmaid Dress Contest and Garden Movie Screening at 6 p.m. Thursday. The public is invited to drag out that bridesmaid dress that you can wear again and strut proudly over to the museum and enjoy a movie and enter in contest. There will be a free screening of 27 Dresses, 2008, starring Katherine Heigl, starting at 6:30 p.m. This closing party for Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion, gives you one more chance to see the exhibition before it closes on Sunday. Masks required and entry limited to allow for social distancing. Bring a lawn chair. Snacks will be provided. Voting will be conducted in-house day of the event, and pictures will be posted on the museum Facebook of the contestants. Voting will end at 11:45 a.m., and winners will be announced at noon online on Sunday. For more information, call 550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. International Women's Day event. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce has scheduled a virtual celebration of inspirational women in our community as part of International Women's Day from 2:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. March 8th. Featured speakers will be Stacy Brown, CEO of ORMC, Dr. Sharon R. Cannon, Texas Tech Health Sciences Center Regional Dean of Nursing, Sandra Oaf, President of E. Official Enterprises, Incorporated, Debbie Hayes, Ector County Judge, Dr. Stephanie Howard, Deputy Superintendent for ECISD, Kim McKay, Vice President for Student Services at Odessa College, Erica Thomas, Executive Director of Odessa Links, Incorporated, Kristen Timmons, Chief Nursing Officer of Medical Center Health Systems, and Marie Willis, Odessa City Council, District 5. Cost is $10 for members and $15 for non-members. For more information, contact Samantha Dillard at 432-333-7863 or email samanthad@odessachamber.com. To register, visit tinyurl.com/44SDVEUX. Exhibit, World War II Heroes, featuring 31 portraits of the men and women who served in the armed forces during World War II through March 25th at the Museum of the Big Bend, Alpine. Photographer Zach Coco has a great appreciation for and a connection with our nation's military heroes, his grandfather, a World War II veteran. Biographies for the portraits can be viewed on cell phones by use of a QR code on labels next to each portrait. Gallery guides will be available as well. Museum hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. The museum is located on the campus of Sel Ross State University at entrance number 4. For more, visit museumofthebigbend.com or call 432-837-8143. OANews@OAOA.com. Man arrested in connection to armed robbery. OANews@OAOA.com. A 20-year-old man was arrested Sunday after he reportedly shot a 31-year-old man and a 25-year-old woman during an armed robbery last week. Braden Ray Stout was charged with 2 counts of aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony. The reported robbery happened at 3:50 a.m. February 24th in the 300 block of Drury Lane, an Odessa Police Department press release stated. The Odessa American requested the probable cause affidavit and full police report from the city of Odessa at 9:44 a.m., as OPD would not release the name of the 31-year-old man and 25-year-old woman. The names are public record under the Texas Public Information Act and should be released. The 31-year-old man and 25-year-old woman were both transported to a local hospital with serious bodily injury, the press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed the man and woman were robbed and shot by Stout. Stout was located and arrested Sunday in Monahans, the press release stated. Stout is still being detained at the Ward County Jail. The investigation continues. Andrews man, Midland woman, die in collision. OA News at OAOA.com. An Andrews man and a Midland woman died in a two-vehicle head-on collision near Gardendale. The reported fatal collision happened at 12:14 a.m. February 28th on State Highway 158, about 6 miles west of Gardendale, a Texas Department of Public Safety press release stated. Alan J. Barrera, 36, of McAllen, was reportedly driving a 2018 Chevrolet Silverado, towing a trailer. Passengers in the Silverado included Ramiro Barrera, 43, of Valfurrias, and Carlos Valdez, 21, of San Juan. Driver Colton R. Huckabee, 27, of Andrews, and passenger Mace D. Oliver, 22, of Midland, were traveling in a 2018 Nissan Versa, the press release stated. The Silverado was traveling east on State Highway 158, while the Versa was traveling west on State Highway 158. The Silverado reportedly entered the westbound lane and collided with the Versa head-on. Huckabee and Oliver were both wearing their seat belts. They were pronounced dead at the scene. None of the people in the Silverado were wearing their seat belts, the affidavit detailed. All three were also transported to Medical Center Hospital, with Alan Barrera having incapacitating injuries. Ramiro Barrera and Valdez each had non-incapacitating injuries. The fatal collision is still under investigation. Man charged with choking common law wife. OA News at OAOA.com. A 38-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked his common law wife with a headlock. Anthony Lee Gonzalez was charged with assault by impeding breathing, family violence, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 11:20 a.m. February 10th in the 4300 block of Clover Avenue, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. The victim, identified as Jennifer Helen Gonzalez and Anthony Gonzalez, have reportedly been together and common law married for 1 year. Jennifer Gonzalez and Anthony Gonzalez got into an argument that escalated to violence. Anthony Gonzalez stated that his wife slapped him on the left side of his face, the affidavit stated. Jennifer Gonzalez claimed that her husband placed her in a headlock, which impeded her normal breathing. Anthony Gonzalez reportedly admitted that he did choke his wife during the fight. Gonzalez also had visible light red marks on the left side of his face. Gonzalez was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on February 26th, jail records show. He had one bond, totaling $20,000, and he posted bail on February 27th. Death notices. Gregory Dwayne Gerber, Odessa. Gregory Dwayne Gerber, 64, of Odessa, died Sunday, February 28th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. March 5th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Linda Perlene Mitchell, Bushland, Texas. Linda Perlene Mitchell, 63, of Bushland, Texas, died Friday, February 26, 2021, in Bushland, Texas. Funeral service is scheduled at 11 a.m., March 9, 2021, at First Christian Church, Hooker, Oklahoma. Burial will be at 3 p.m. at the Inglewood Cemetery in Clark County, Kansas. Arrangements are by Bunch Roberts Funeral Home of Guymon, Oklahoma. Terry Golden, Lubbock. Terry Golden, 68, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 27, 2021, in Lubbock. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., March 5, 2021, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with interment following at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery in Odessa. The family will receive guests from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 4th, 2021, at the branch at NPW in Midland. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Travis Alton Hatcher, Odessa. Travis Alton Hatcher, 45, died Thursday, February 25th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Mary Ann Cordell Johnson, Odessa. Mary Ann Cordell Johnson, 77, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 27th, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. David Ray King, Odessa. David Ray King, 64, of Odessa, died Friday, February 19th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled at 1 p.m., March 2nd, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Jerome Campbell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Humberto Ortiz Soto, Odessa. Humberto Ortiz Soto, 77, of Midland, died Friday, February 26, 2021, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. This is the energy page. This article is entitled, Oil Falls with OPEC Plus Meeting Hovering Over Tightening Market, by Andres Guerra-Luz, Bloomberg. Oil plunged as the dollar pared losses ahead of a key OPEC Plus meeting scheduled this week that may return more supply back to a fast-tightening market. Futures in New York declined for a second straight session Monday, falling to the lowest in over a week. The alliance gathers on Thursday and is expected to loosen the taps after prices got off to their best-ever start to a year. But it's unclear how robustly the group will act, with the Saudi Arabian energy minister calling for producers to remain extremely cautious. The market continues to face risks in the near term. China's UNIPEC was reoffering cargoes of April Angolan crude amid weaker sales. Diesel demand in India was also down versus a year earlier amid record pump prices in the country. Both point to a limit on some of the recent firmness seen within the oil market.
West Texas Intermediate for April deliveries slipped 86 cents to settle at $60.64 a barrel. Now that oil's back at $60, there's going to be a push to wean off of those cuts, said Stuart Glickman, energy equity analyst at CFRA Research. The question is, how much are they going to bring back? The biggest risk is if supply presumes we're back to pre-pandemic demand in 2021, and that turns out not to be the case. Still, there has been a raft of bullish calls in recent weeks predicting the rally will continue as the producer response trails consumption, while maintenance in North Sea fields is set to further reduce supply. There are also some signs that demand is starting to pick up. U.S. gasoline demand jumped by 1 million barrels a day last week to 8.76 million barrels a day, a level comparable to March 2020 before the pandemic, according to Descartes Labs. People have become very optimistic about the ability of OPEC Plus to manage a return to a balanced market, said Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research. The market continues to see improved demand down the road, and OPEC Plus not oversupplying the market as they ramp up again. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies must decide how much output gets restored and at what pace, with current reductions amounting to just over 7 million barrels a day, or 7% of global supply. The 23-nation coalition will choose whether to revive a 500,000-barrel tranche in April, and in addition, whether the Saudis confirm an extra 1 million barrels they've taken offline will return as scheduled. Citigroup Inc. thinks the coalition will boost output by about 500,000 barrels a day next month, with Saudi Arabia unlikely to continue its voluntary curbs. A higher oil price environment, an increasingly promising demand picture by summer, and the recovering but still growing U.S. oil production outlook for 2021 should give OPEC Plus the confidence to slightly increase supply, said Louise Dixon, an analyst at consultant Rystad Energy AS. This article is entitled, OPEC Plus Faces Calls to Cool Oil Market Frenzy with Extra Barrels, by Grant Smith, Javier Blas, and Salma El Wardani, Bloomberg. From trading houses in Geneva to Wall Street banks, much of the oil world agrees that global markets could use some more barrels. The big question is whether OPEC Plus will provide enough of them. A crude glut that piled up during the pandemic is vanishing fast. Global inventories are plunging at the steepest rate in two decades, according to Morgan Stanley. Prices have rallied to pre-virus levels, while U.S. production has taken a hit from freezing storms. Talks swirl of market supercycles and even the return of $100 oil. With the need for more supply evident, traders expect the OPEC Plus coalition, led by Saudi Arabia and Russia, will agree to increase production when it meets on March 4th, reversing some of the output cuts made last year. But it's unclear if the group will act vigorously enough. Wary of the virus's persisting threat to demand, Saudi Arabia Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman has urged fellow producers to remain extremely cautious. If the alliance agrees an output hike that falls short of requirements, however, it could trigger a further price surge, and the group would be forced to deal with its unwelcome consequences. There's a real risk they're going to over-tighten the market, said Bill Farren-Price, a director at research firm Enverus and veteran observer of the cartel. It's already super tight, and if OPEC just focuses on keeping prices up, that's going to eventually provoke supplies from their rivals. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies rescued the global oil industry from an unprecedented slump last year
by slashing production when the coronavirus crisis pummeled demand. The strategy has revived international benchmark Brent crude up to $67 a barrel, shoring up revenues for the producers' battered economies. The 23-nation coalition continues to idle just over 7 million barrels of daily output, about 7% of global supply, and on Thursday will decide whether to revive a 500,000-barrel tranche in April. In addition, the Saudis will confirm whether an extra 1 million barrels they've recently taken offline will return as scheduled. Demand recovery. Global oil markets are signaling that they could comfortably absorb the full complement of 1.5 million barrels. Demand in China, the world's biggest oil importer, is back above pre-virus levels as its containment of the disease allows much of a normal life and economic activity to resume. India, another key consumer, warns that high prices are jeopardizing the global economic recovery. Propelled by cold weather, fuel use in Japan, the fourth largest oil consumer, posted in January its first year-on-year increase since mid-2019. In the U.S., stockpiles of crude oil and refined products are back near levels last seen a year ago. Though demand for aviation fuels remains depressed, purchases of products that cater to working and consuming at home, like diesel for trucks and plastics, have boomed. OPEC's own data show it can go ahead with this year's scheduled production increases and still manage to deplete world oil inventories, whittling them down to their five-year average, the group's desired target, by August. Futures markets testify that supplies are tightening sharply. Near-term Brent contracts are commanding a sizable premium over later months, known as backwardation, with the six-month spread standing at $3.22 a barrel. That reflects a sustained strong short-term deficit of about 2 to 3 million barrels a day, according to Giovanni Serio, global head of market analysis at Vitol Group, the world's biggest oil trader. Bullish calls. The shift to a tightening market has sparked a wave of bullish projections. Goldman Sachs Group Inc. sees Brent hitting $75 a barrel in the third quarter as a new commodity supercycle beckons, while trading giant Trafigura Group says it's very bullish on the months ahead. Socar Trading SA, a unit of Azerbaijan's state oil company, predicts $80 could be reached this summer and triple digits within 2 years. The fear is that in 12 months there will be a shortage, even if OPEC Plus revives output, said Socar Chief Trading Officer Hayal Admazada. It will drive the price very high, very fast. It is still unclear what exactly OPEC Plus will decide. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak has signaled that the country once again wants to proceed with an increase, noting on February 14th that the market is balanced already. Saudi Arabia sounds more reserved, urging its counterparts to recall the scars of last year's collapse. Prices are still far below the levels most OPEC nations need to cover government spending. And the International Energy Agency, a leading forecaster, anticipates a market setback in the second quarter as a seasonal lull briefly causes inventories to accumulate again. If Riyadh wants to limit the overall size of the group's increase, it has a powerful bargaining chip. The pace it chooses to return the extra 1 million barrel cutback that's supposed to expire at the end of next month. But for some in the market, the kingdom should instead be opening the taps wide. Keeping prices high will only rekindle investment by U.S. shale drillers, they contend, and bring a flood of new supply that cancels out OPEC's hard work.
Even the full 1.5 million barrels isn't sufficient to satisfy demand, says Jan Stewart, global energy economist at Cornerstone Macro LLC. The market needs more, but I don't hear anybody talking about more, said Stewart. There's an acute need for oil. The most obvious risk is they keep holding too much oil back.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.